Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Oh, the people are coming and going, getting ready, toing and froing. There's a buzz in the world tonight. People are so excited.
Day is coming on soon. Happy to see the moon. Hoping to catch a sight. Everyone's so happy. Moon, come out soon. We're off to see the Ramadan moon. Cloud shift, fog lift, see.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. My name is Latifa Sadiq and you're welcome to Everyday Muslim. Today the topic is the impact of Ramadan on our character, and we'll be joined by a guest, Ustad Kabir Nasir Al Asfar. You're welcome to the show. Now, Ramadan is widely described as the month of mercy, a sacred season in which divine compassion descends abundantly, sins are forgiven, du'as are accepted, and the gates of Jannah are opened. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Hearts are invited back to their Lord, and believers are given another chance to begin again. But Ramadan is not only about receiving mercy, it is about being reshaped by it. Fasting is not simply an act of hunger, it is a spiritual discipline designed to soften hardened hearts, humble inflated egos, and awaken empathy for those who struggle daily. It restrains appetites, but it is meant to restrain arrogance as well. It withholds food, but it is meant to withhold anger, cruelty, and heedlessness. It disciplines the body so that the character can be refined. If Ramadan is truly a school of mercy, then its success cannot be measured only in rak'ah prayers or pages recited. It must be seen in softened speech, controlled anger, forgiveness of offenses, restored relationships, and visible compassion. So today on Everyday Muslim, we ask a difficult question, but necessary question. Is Ramadan transforming our character or merely regulating our routine? That is something we need to ponder upon. We are joined by Ustaz Kabir Nasir, like I said earlier, to explore how this sacred month is meant to shape who we become. Because true success in Ramadan is not measured by how hungry we were, but how gentle, patient, and compassionate we became. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Is our guest on?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Ustaz. How is the Ramadan going, sir?
Alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome on our show. We're grateful to have you.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, so Ramadan is called the month of mercy. In practical terms, what should mercy look like in a believer's daily conduct? I mean, at home, at work, and even online. Please kindly share your thoughts on that, sir.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, thumma salatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our viewers or listeners at home, as the case may be. So we'll talk about mercy. Islam is a religion of mercy. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us to perfect good character. He used to say, "Innama bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I've been sent to perfect good character. And then the Quran tells us, the Quran testifies to this, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim." You are definitely on the highest level of the highest pedestal when it comes to this sublime character. And then you have the Quran also telling us that لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. So if if the mercy of Allah is on the highest pedestal of good character, then Muslims are also actively encouraged to emulate him in this character. And then when we talk about everyday life, when we talk about what defines that character, I mean, you see that it's based on mercy. Scholars will say good character, sound character is careful other, preventing harm from coming from you to others. Careful other. Wabadlu nada, and to be generous. The first pillar is that you are preventing harm from you getting to others. The second one is that you are generous in speech, in action, in charity. And to always meet people with a cheerful face. So basically, this is what Islam encourages us to do as Muslims. So when we engage with other creatures, and I use other creatures here to say that our mercy is not even restricted to human beings. We are supposed to be kind to even animals. We are supposed to be kind to Muslim, non-Muslim, even animals. So much so that the Messenger of Allah told the companions, "Fafikulli kebidin rutba ajal." For even whatever good you do to vertebrates, to animals who are vertebrates, you get rewarded on it. And this was in the context of a woman giving water to a dog. I mean, she was a sinner. She was a prostitute, and she got to the well, took water, and saw a dog that was panting out of thirst. And then she also got water for the dog, and then the dog drank. And then the Messenger of Allah said, "Fashakara Allahu laha wa ghafara Allahu laha." And Allah appreciated what she did and forgave her. And then, so it's encompassing. We do not harm others. No. And then we are generous to others. No. And then we meet people with a cheerful face. Basically, this summarizes what we mean by being merciful to people in and outside Ramadan. No. Allah knows.
Thank you for sharing, sir. Jazakallah khairan. This Ramadan, there are people that are at home, there are people that are at work, there are people that are online. And in this day and age where online trolling is a thing, people already have the way they conduct themselves at work and at home. It is really important to say, okay, when it comes to mercy, how are we supposed to conduct ourselves in all these our various spheres of life? And like you've rightly pointed out, when it comes to mercy, as we are expecting mercy from Allah, we should also show mercy to those around us. Thank you, sir, for sharing. Now, fasting weakens the body, no doubt. And sometimes it even exposes irritability. Is that exposure intentional? Is Ramadan designed to reveal our character flaws before it reforms them? What are
you saying? So basically, before I responded to this one, I forgot to add to what I said earlier. Yeah. That because when you mentioned trolling and stuff, that I remembered, there's a categorical statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Irhamu man fil ard." Be merciful to those on earth, yarhamkum man fis sama. And the one above the heavens also will be merciful to you. So going back to the issue of fasting would increase our irritability. This is not what the Islamic fasting is meant to do, right? The Islamic fasting is meant to, apart from our thirst and our hunger, it's meant to refine also our action. So the Messenger of Allah used to say, "Man la yada qawla zur wal amala bihi falaysa lillahi hajatun an yada ta'amahu wa sharaba." If you don't stop obscene action, negative action, negative speech in the month of Ramadan, the Allah has no need of you leaving your food and drink. So it's not about the food and drink alone. Rather, it's also about the fact that we want our character also to reflect the spiritual importance of the month of Ramadan. And practically, to be fair, we actually see this on an everyday basis. Yes. People abstain from those actions that they know would impact negatively on their Ramadan. Yes. People would avoid cursing others. People would avoid, because the Messenger of Allah put it very graphically. Yes. He said, even if you are fasting, in shatamahu ahad al qatalahu, if somebody was cursing you, abusing you, or trolling you, as the case may be, right? Or qatalahu, or the person attempts to even fight him, to fight the one who is fasting, what he should say, what the fasting person should say, what she should say is, in me, so in, I am fasting. You are not to respond, you are not to reciprocate. And this is just emphasized in Ramadan. It's emphasized in Ramadan. This is supposed to be the Muslim character. Generally. Allah says, wa ibadu Rahman, describing the states of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hauna, those who walk the surface of the earth in humility, wa idha khatabahum mujahiluna qalu salama, and when they are insulted, somebody curses them, they say, salam, peace be unto you. So these are part and parcel of the Muslim character. In Ramadan, they are meant to be worked on. They are meant to be emphasized. We are meant to display them so that we get the complete reward of fasting the month of Ramadan.
Allah. Thank you so much. You know, there's this saying, they say the hungry man is an angry man. And so this, from what we're saying now, what we're saying is that we should de-emphasize this. We should even shun it. To say, no, you can be hungry and it can be a source of sober reflection and of better behavior.
We would say a fasting man is a patient man. Mashallah. So he's not just hungry.
Mashallah. I like
a fasting man is a patient man.
Thank you so much, Ya Ustaz. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned that some people gain nothing from fasting except hunger and thirst. May Allah, you know, save us from such. In today's context, what behaviors cancel out the moral benefits of fasting? I know we've touched on one or two of those, but if we may just briefly state certain behaviors that has the capacity to actually cancel out the moral benefits of fasting.
Yeah. So not only the moral benefit, but also the spiritual benefit. Yeah. I cited a hadith earlier, and it's more in tune with this particular question. Man la yada قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. If you don't leave obscene action, قول زور, obscene statement, قول زور والعمل به, acting in line with it, then why do you want to stop your drinking and your eating, as the case may be? So if your character is not reformed during the fasting, you just have the reward of leaving your food and drink. You will not have the maximum reward that is expected of you to have in the month of Ramadan. To be specific, the Prophet now went forward, so right? That we are saying that you don't initiate these things. Somebody has not wronged you. You don't backbite people. You don't mock people. You don't tell lies against people. You don't curse people. You don't, as an aggressor, this is not permissible for you. Now, as even somebody who is defending himself, you are not supposed to do this in the month of Ramadan. And that's why I also refer to the statement of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa in sha'atabahu ahad aw qatalahu falyaqul min unsa'im. Even if you are not the aggressor, and then somebody is cursing you, like you're driving along the street in Lagos, where of course you have a lot of rough driving, and then you were minding your business and somebody comes around and throws a curse at you, you know, naturally you'd want to respond and remember, no, I'm fasting. So even if you are not the aggressor, you are not supposed to retaliate. Just say that in Nimrukul. So I'm fasting. I will not allow you to take from the reward that I deserve in this month.
Jazakallah khairan. So basically what we've said is that major things that can actually cancel out one's fasting is if one is fasting, you're staying away from not eating, but you're not staying away from major sins. So this can actually cancel out the fasting. May Allah accept our ibadah. Now, many people feel, you know, emotional during Ramadan, but emotions fade. How do we convert these temporary spiritual feelings into lasting character transformation? Because, you know, in Ramadan, people truly make efforts, you know, for the things that they know that indeed they're supposed to do better. So everyone is in that mode of, I need to put in my best, I need to ensure that I'm bringing my A game to the table. But how do we, you know, convert these temporary spiritual feelings into that lasting transformation?
That is a very important question. And I think that there's a misconception that I would like to point out, right? So right after Ramadan, we all ask the question, after Ramadan, what comes next? Yeah. And then it's like we want an immediate transformation right after Ramadan for people. Now it doesn't really work that way, right? Yeah. So Ramadan is like I've been driving my car for several kilometers and I'm running low on gas on fuel. Then Ramadan is like the first session that you fill your tank again and you continue on your journey. So basically, what we want to look at is that this person that fasted Ramadan, has he improved in any way after Ramadan, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say an individual used to pray only Subhi and Isha in congregation, right? If after Ramadan he was able to add Dhuhr and Asr, right? It means that Ramadan has impacted positively on this individual. If somebody used to consume alcoholic beverages before Ramadan came, and then when Ramadan came, the person was able to stop or reduce it. Yes, Ramadan has impacted positively on this individual. So having said that, I think one of the things we should talk about is the fact that the fasting person needs to actually make an assessment of himself. I understand that
Okay, I think we lost him for a moment. Well, alhamdulillah, Blala. I mean, you know, when it comes... Okay, Ustaz is back. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I think the network glitched for a moment. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I was saying that the individual has to also have an understanding of what Ramadan is all about. Mm-hmm. So to have that discussion with yourself, and that is why, okay, also in Ramadan also, discussions of this child, they are very important. Mm-hmm. What have I acquired in Ramadan? How do I sustain it outside Ramadan?
Absolutely.
Such that the individual will not just be Ramadani, mm-hmm, who worships Allah only in Ramadan. We ask ourselves, how will I improve? What can I carry on? It's not just in Ramadan alone. It has to translate outside Ramadan. Mm-hmm. May Allah make it easy for us.
Amen, amen. So what we're saying now is that in order to convert these temporary spiritual feelings into lasting character transformation, one must have a personal talk with oneself to say, I can do this in Ramadan, so I can do this after Ramadan. May Allah make it easy for us. Now, Ustaz, there's so much talk about the tongue during Ramadan. Why is the tongue so central in Ramadan? Can someone truly claim to be fasting while still engaging in gossip, insults, and harsh speech?
Yeah, so the tongue, as I said, all these things are emphasized in Ramadan.
Yeah.
But even before Ramadan, there are instructions that Allah SWT has given to us. We are in Surah Al-Ujurat. We have a lot of instructions about how not to harm others with our tongue. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ لَا يَسْخَرُ كُومٌ مِنْ كُومٍ أَسَنْ يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِنْ نِسَاءٍ أَسَنْ يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِنْهُنَّ. And a lot of وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't backbite people, don't cuss people, don't... So we have all of these instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal, that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, after he learned the hadith, Mu'adh was asking him, tell me those things that will make me enter Al-Jannah easily, and those things that will prevent me from entering the hellfire. And after a very lengthy discussion, the Messenger of Allah said, كُفَّ أَفَعَ أَفَعَدُلُّكَ عَلَى مِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ. So should I tell you what would control all of what I've told you? All of what I've told you, he said, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. And he held his tongue. Control your tongue. Control what you utter. And then, Wa'ad was surprised. Said, أَأَنَّا لَمُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ. Would we be held to account with what we utter with our tongue? And Mr. Bella said, of course. A lot of people will go to the hellfire and humiliation because of what they say with their tongue. So we avoid harming. And of course, the tongue is the easiest organ in our body to harm others.
No.
Right?
No.
So we can backbite a person. We can insult a person. We can curse a person. So this is why the tongue is one of those that we have to control in the month of Ramadan.
Yeah. And that make it
cool and zoom.
That make it easy. And that's why it is even said as regards backbiting that even if what one is saying is true, you know, there's this misconception that I know I can say right before the person, I'm not saying anything that is not true, I'm not saying anything that the person doesn't already know that I can say before them. But then what Islam says is that even if it is something you can say before the person, as long as it's something that the person doesn't like or something that is like an insult, something that is not complimentary, Islam encourages us to avoid such, especially in the month of Ramadan. May Allah make us beneficiaries of this great month.
Ameen.
Now, we'll be going for a break soon. However, before we do that, when we beg Allah for forgiveness in this glorious month of Ramadan, yet some of us hold lifelong grudges, why is it easier to seek mercy than to extend it?
No, because naturally as human beings, we tend to be selfish. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يُكَشُوحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whosoever is able to control his own selfishness, these are the successful. So for a human being, we actually say things a lot of times from our own perspective. This is basically it. So when we are dealing with others, we expect maximal benefit from our dealing. We expect mercy from them. We expect kindness from them. Whereas when others deal with us, we find it difficult to forgive them the same way we want to be forgiven. So Allah says, "Why lil mutaffifin alladhina ibtalu 'ala an-nas yastawfun wa idha kaluhum aw waznuhum yakhsirun." Says that those who deliberately reduce the scale of measurements, right? You want to buy rice, then he reduces the scale. So Allah is saying what he is costing them. Then he said, when they are buying from others, they expect the full measure. But when they are selling to others, they will reduce the scale. So this doesn't apply only to physical commodities. Also in our behaviors, we should not expect forgiveness from others, Allah SWT inclusive, while we are also very, very stingy with our forgiveness, particularly for those who wrong us in error. If it's not out of error, yes, it is still highly encouraged to forgive, but it's within one's right to decide not to. Allah knows best.
May Allah assist. You know, the issue of forgiveness, it is said that it is even more beneficial to the person who is forgiving. Because when you hold a grudge, then you are allowing a person to live rent-free in your own head. So, by the time you are able to extend forgiveness to others, the heart becomes lighter. And then they said, he who comes to equity must come with clean hands. You're able to then approach Allah with clean hands to seek his own mercy. May Allah have mercy on us. Now, our phone lines, I would like to remind every listening person that our phone lines are still on. You can call us on 070-0091-7917. You can also call us on 0800-1235-917. So call us and share your thoughts on some of the issues that have been discussed. Today we're still speaking with Ustaz Abdul Kabir Nasser Al Asfar, and the topic still remains mercy in action, the impact of Ramadan on our character. Now, So another thing that we were discussing today is that when it comes to Ramadan, there's a lot of fatigue. Fatigue is real. Tempers sometimes rise before iftar. What does true Ramadan character look like inside the home, with spouses, with children, with dependents? Because there's this joke that by the time it's almost iftar, in fact by evening, you know, it's back to what we're saying about irritability, tempers are short, the fatigue is real. And then there's also that sleep deprivation. I mean, I've heard people say that for them in Ramadan, the hardest part is not even abstaining from food. It is the fact that they have to wake up. The night rest is really short. You have to observe the Taraweeh prayers late into the night, and then you have to plan to wake up early again during the night to offer tahajjud, and then subhi. And in some cases, some people don't even get to rest before it's time for going out for one's daily work and all of that. So we'll be going on a break shortly, but when we return, I would like Ustaz to talk to us about Ramadan fatigue, you know, how can we manage Ramadan fatigue? May Allah have mercy on us. So Ustaz will be going on a short break. When we return, we'll handle the issue of Ramadan fatigue. You're still listening to WFM Women Radio 91.7, The Voice of Women. And today's show is Everyday Muslim.
بكتابك حين ترى الله ما أحراك بهذا أن يكبر قدرك عند الله قصص لا تكشف إلا بكتابك حين ترى الله ما أحراك بهذا أن يكبر
Women Radio 91.7, breaking the culture of silence.
Nigeria, a nation of many languages and many tribes, we will stand together, live together, and grow together. United we stand, united we thrive. This message is brought to you by Women Radio WFM 91.7 FM.
Are you looking for a place to advertise your business at affordable rates or a hall to host all your corporate events and conferences? Then don't look any further for all your advert placements, live interviews, announcements, religious programs, event bookings, and lots more. Give your business the boost and reach your target audience at an affordable rate here on Women Radio 91.7. What are you waiting for? Hurry now. Call the numbers 0905-555-8998, 0806-009-2137, or 0816-060-5673, or email us at sales@wfm917.com.
Take you to confirm payment. I have been waiting for the past 1 hour. I am so sorry. Our network is slow. I will just run out of data. Same excuse yesterday. It is unacceptable. Please, you better switch to One Data Internet Service. One Data? Yes, One Data. One Data is an internet service provider with the best alternative and solution for unlimited speed. One Data provides fast and reliable internet service to organizations, homes, and places of interest in Nigeria. With One Data, you get to enjoy the premium internet service with dedicated unlimited internet speed at all times, 24/7 fantastic customer service and support, and you enjoy a 1 month free subscription when you make payment. Now is the time to say goodbye to downtimes. Sign up with One Data today on 0811 223 267. www.mondata.org. Mondata, unlimited speed.
Otu mwanyi igwe mgbasa ozi Women Radio Membership nọ n'Ubekee na-ejikọ gị na ụmụ nwanyị azụmahịa ndị ọzọ, ndị ọchụnta ego, ụmụ akwụkwọ, ndị nlekwa ezinụlọ, ndị ọrụ ugbo na ndị ezumike nka dị na steeti 36 nke Naịjirịa. Dịka onye otu ụmụ nwanyị igwe mgbasa ozi, azụmahịa gị bụ nke a ga-akwalitere gị n'efu na igwe mgbasa ozi ụmụ nwanyị. Ị ga-enwetakwazi ihe nrite, ihe ọma ndị dị ịtụnanya dị iche iche, ma nwetakwazi ohere ịnọ ma sonyere ihe omume anyị gasị. Tinye Women Radio app n'ekwentị gị taa, ị wee nụrụ olu gị n'igwe mgbasa ozi. Debanye aha n'efu na wfm917.com ma gbaa mbọ hụ na ị na-esonyere otu jikọtara ụmụ nwaanyị igwe mgbasa ozi, nkọwara nzikọrịta ozi Facebook, ọ bụ Tumak Afa Foundation and Nigeria Media Innovation Program, NAMIP na HITAP, bụ ha na-akwado otu abụ Women Radio Membership.
The stories are real.
Something like this happened to me years back. I saw some message in his phone. The lady that sent the message to him. When I told him, I said, "Come, why are you like this? What are you doing all this?"
It's all around you.
And so when she comes up to you to tell you her schedule needs, you should be humble enough to listen. And if there's something you can do about that, you do it. Is it reading books? Is it seeing a therapist? Be open to certain things, because at the end of the day, this person is your partner. That is the bottom line of everything.
My family advised him to marry the girl he has submitted. We forced him, but he refused.
So when the girl starts telling that you call her too much, then there's something fishy.
You want to share it? Then people see. You're not alone. Break the silence culture. Adult conversations. Weeknights from 8 on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Tune in to Women Radio 91.7 for everything women.
Medina.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women's Radio 91.7. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are currently being joined by Ustaz Abdulkabir Nasir, or Al Asfar. He has been speaking to us on the topic Mercy in Action, the impact of Ramadan on our character. And he has shared a lot of insights about practical things that we can do in Ramadan to ensure that our Ramadan remains intact, that we do not, you know, spit fire or be irritable during Ramadan. Thank you, Ustaz, for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, sir.
Welcome.
Naam. So before we went on the break, we were talking about Ramadan fatigue being real. I mean, a lot of people suffer from sleep deprivation because of the short hours of sleep due to ibadah, and then tempers sometimes rise before iftar. So what does true Ramadan character look like inside the home with spouses, with children and dependents vis-a-vis Ramadan fatigue? And how can we, you know, navigate that fatigue in such a way that it doesn't affect the worship and general conduct that is expected of us during this glorious month of Ramadan? Ustaz, are you there? Oh, I think the network is glitching. Ustaz Abu Kabir, are you there, sir?
Okay. Why we feel the same? Don't tell me it's by chance.
Oh,
you're my brother.
Hello.
You're my sister.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. I think there's a bit of a glitch on the network.
Yeah.
Please go ahead and express your thoughts.
You froze for a while.
Yes.
Okay, so I was talking about the fact that we mentioned the fasting person is supposed to be a patient person.
Now.
And basically, usually in households, I mean, if you look at the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions, you will not have this flare-ups, right? So it's going to be something that we'll undo on a case-by-case basis and ask ourselves, what are the triggers that makes us short-fused towards the time of iftar? What are those things that would put on unwanted pressure and then lead to explosive scenarios within the home? We have agreed as a fasting person, we are not supposed to allow this happen, right? That in Ramadan, you are not supposed to even exchange negative words. You are not supposed to be the originator, and even you are not supposed to even retaliate either when it's being done.
No.
So we have to look at what are those triggers that will not allow us to fulfill what is required of us in Ramadan. At times, maybe you deciding that, okay, I'll probably be doing my Taraweeh at home. It's not compulsory to do the Taraweeh in the mosque. If say for instance, the Taraweeh in the mosque is 90, maybe they are using, maybe the imam is reading several juz in Taraweeh, and this will eat into our night time, make us grumpy, cranky in the morning, and they make us transfer this aggression to others, then maybe we should pray at home and pray with short surahs, right? So we look at the cooking time for us females. So how do we manage time such that when it's time to cook, we'll not be overwhelmed with the weakness, the enormity of work we have to do in the kitchen, and the fact that we also not want to be spiritual. So then we can, if we identify these triggers, then we can come together as a family and work out how to compensate for those, how to remove those triggers totally or reduce them to the barest minimum. And when they occur, how to shift so as to annul the effects of such things that are stress triggers. So this is what I think that we can do. The household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we didn't hear of such triggers because there's an understanding on what to do and what not to do in the month of Ramadan. That will make it easy for us too.
Ameen, Ya Rabban Alameen. You know, fatigue in Ramadan, for me, one major thing that Ramadan, you know, puts the torch on is time management. You know, because fatigue is a major role in the sense that you're tired, you haven't had enough sleep, yet you have to carry on with your daily activities, and then at some point you start to feel the pangs of hunger, and then the fatigue sets in. But time management also helps, like you said, for if you know that, and then basically reminding ourselves that Ramadan is a marathon, not a sprint. So slow and steady is what wins the race. If you're able to plan your time and even come up with some kind of timetable to say, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, I want to stop eating at this time so that I can start the prayer with the imam. Okay, this particular day, I'm very much fatigued. Let me observe my Taraweeh at home so that I can compensate at night during Tahajjud. So that way, the issue of fatigue, one's energy is managed, and then the issue of fatigue is reduced, and it helps us to you know, balance out and, you know, conduct ourselves as is required in this month of Ramadan. May Allah continue to make it easy. These things are easier said than done, and it's only Allah that can make the ibadah truly easy for us. May Allah continue to assist. Now, for our viewers that want to call in, like I said before, you can join the conversation by calling our numbers 070-0091-7917. I'll take that again, 0700-0917-917. You can also call us on 0800-1235-917. 0800-123-5917. I'll take that again, 0800-123-5917. So to join the conversation, those are the numbers to call. May Allah make it easy. The topic is mercy in action, the impact of Ramadan on our character. And we've been speaking with our Ustaz, Abdul Kabir Nasir Al-Asfar. Thank you, sir, for giving us your time and for the amazing insights that you've shared. We appreciate it. May Allah accept it as ibadah. Now, when it comes to hunger gives us a glimpse into hardship. You know, for people that on a normal day, you eat when you want to eat, you have everything that you need to eat in your disposition, everything is at your disposal. And now by the time you start fasting and then you feel the hunger pangs, you now get an idea that, oh, so the people that don't have, the poor, the less privileged, the downtrodden, this is what they go through. So how should Ramadan reshape our long-term commitment to the poor, you know, beyond just giving zakat or one of charity? We're talking of general, you know, long-term commitment to the poor. How should Ramadan reshape this for us?
Yeah, basically, so when the scholars talk about the underlying wisdom, I mean, you have the spiritual wisdom, and then you have your spiritual, it's a spiritual act of worship. Yeah. But there are certain underlying wisdom that we would be able to derive from Ramadan. Yeah. And one of them is that understanding what the poor go through. There are people who do not know what hunger is. No. Before their lunch breakfast is ready, before their breakfast dinner is ready. In between, there's something to snack on, there's something to take, there's something to drink. There are people who don't have an experience of hunger. Ramadan.
Yes, please go ahead. Oh, I think that was a network glitch right there.
Is an opportunity for them. Ramadan realize that. Hello? Oh,
okay, yes, hello? We can hear you now. There was a bit of a glitch. Please go ahead.
Okay, sorry, please. So even in Ramadan, there's an expectation that iftar is coming.
Yes.
For the poor, some do not have an expectation that iftar is coming from anywhere. Rather, so it gives us a window to see how people suffer and what they experience. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, in Ramadan, you have greater generosity. Yeah. If not the greatest display of generosity in Ramadan. Mm-hmm. In the mosque, you're going to have different types of fruits for people to break their fast. There's going to be water. There's going to be foodstuff given out to people.
And
right?
At random, so for that matter.
Yeah, so the thing is for just to for us to work on people and let them realize that for some people, hunger is a year-round thing. It's not a month-long thing. Mm. So it really, really makes people understand what hunger is and how some people feel about it. Mm. So as I said, it's also now understand that, this is not, again, even outside Ramadan, Islam emphasizes feeding the poor. It's just concentrated and emphasizing the month of Ramadan. So it gives us an inkling out the poor, how so much they need our assistance and how so much they suffer with the absence of any support from those who can support them in the community. One thing I tell people is that what you have on your table as breakfasts, right? A meal may sustain some people for a week.
Subhanallah.
So this should make us realize that yes, the little we have, let us give as sadaqah.
Yeah.
May Allah SWT make it easy for us.
Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The issue of charity is so much displayed, like you said, it's so much emphasized in Ramadan. Everyone wants to give the little that they have. And even those that don't have feel bad that, I want to give, but I don't have. But it's okay. Alhamdulillah that Ramadan, our religion is one whereby the sincerity of your intention is what is most paramount. So we pray that Allah makes it easy for us to continue to give beyond zakat, beyond one of charity, to make charity part of our lives. Because that is indeed what the generality of our society and the nation needs to even move forward. If everyone is ready to extend a hand of charity to one another, then we all grow together, and we pray that Allah makes this easy for us this Ramadan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it's been really insightful speaking with our dear Ustaz Abdul Kabir Nasir Al Asfar. Thank you, sir, for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.
We're getting to the close of our show. We've been speaking about the impact of Ramadan on our character, and we've said so many things. Ustaz has shared with us some of the practical steps in Ramadan to ensure that we distance ourselves from things like gossip, insults, arguments, fighting, and whatnot. And also to manage fatigue, we've spoken about time management and time planning. Some people have also even said that, journaling helps, even on a normal day. But in Ramadan, when one then says, okay, let me actually write out what I want to do, you know, to say, okay, this, I'm going to read this particular surah, I'm going to ponder on this particular surah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that at this particular time, then it helps us to ensure that, we're maximizing what Ramadan is all about. We can only pray that Allah makes it easy for us. On a final note, I don't know if there's anything that Ustaz wants to generally share with us for the Muslims during this month of Ramadan as they listen to us today.
So basically, we as Muslims, it's a pleasure being on the show and sharing the little that we could share. So as Muslims, you all realize that we are on a journey, and the journey is to meet the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then just as we strive as individuals to improve ourselves in our mundane affairs, whatever skill we've acquired, whatever what we do, we try to improve ourselves. So also should we consider improving ourselves in our religious life, such that we want us to be better Muslims after this Ramadan. Even if it's just to be a particular act of worship that we've not been regular at. This should change, and then we should be regular at it. So also, there are people who would walk up to me and say that, look, I smoke weed in Ramadan, I try to stop it. People are addicted to drugs and stuff like this. And I tell them that, look, whatever you can stop from dawn to dusk, it means that you can stop it for the entire day. And whatever you can stop for 29 to 30 days, it means that you can stop it for 364 days. Indeed. So we have the potentials to make ourselves better. We are stronger than our sins. We are stronger than our shortcomings. May Allah make it awesome.
Amen, amen. And to add to what you've said, we need to remind ourselves that Allah is Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghafur Rahim. He's the all-forgiving and the most merciful. I was listening to a short clip, a podcast, where someone was sharing that, you know, sometimes some days are better than others in Ramadan because, we are humans and we're susceptible to human error. We are indeed fallible. So no matter how great our intentions are, oh, in Ramadan, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this anymore, sometimes we fall short. And it can be discouraging that, okay, I said I wasn't going to do this, and now see, during Ramadan, I slept or something like that. So what the person was basically saying is that we should approach it day-to-day basis to say, okay, this is a new day, this is a new chapter, I'm going to put in my best, this is a new day, this is day one, you know, of Ramadan. Notwithstanding that this is day 11, but this is a new day to go again, to try again, to put in our best, you know, and may Allah make it easy for us. Because it's such a struggle. Now that they've said, okay, the shaitan and the shayateen, they've been locked up. And so now you discover, oh, why am I still struggling with certain things? you know, because it was easy to say before that, oh, it is, you know, because of Shaitan, it is the devil and all of that. But now during Ramadan, we now see that, oh, it is not just about the Shaitan. It is also, it has to do with discipline, self-awareness, you know, reflection from time to time, and asking Allah to help us to mend our character, to bring us to the position of a person that He loves. And during this month of Ramadan, we use this opportunity to pray for everyone, everywhere, suffering from one thing or the other, that Allah grants them shifa, meets us all at our points of need, and grants us the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. We pray that Allah does not, you know, leave us by ourselves, even for the blink of an eye, that He does not refuse our ibadah, that He accepts our every, you know, every effort, and then He grants us great blessings in this month of Ramadan. Pray that everything that we've discussed on the show today, may Allah make it beneficial knowledge, and may Allah accept it from us as ibadah. Thank you so much, Ya Ustaz, for joining us. It's still your show, Everyday Muslim. And today we've had a very insightful conversation on mercy in action, the impact of Ramadan on our character. And we've been speaking with Ya Ustaz Abdul Kabir Nasir Al Asfar. Thank you, sir, for joining us. I think it's the spirit of Ramadan. We didn't even get in any cola today. Everyone is trying to focus, so to speak. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. We want to thank our listeners, you know, for tuning in, for making that commitment to listen to our show, and for us to discuss these things in the month of Ramadan. I also want to give a reminder that everything that we do when it comes to our occupation or, you know, our daily, we should not feel, because sometimes there's that guilt that, oh, at every point in time on a Ramadan day, I should be reading the Quran, I should be listening to a lecture, I should be doing the care, I should be. And so when people go about their normal duties, you know, go to work, sometimes there's that guilt that creeps in, are you sure I'm really maximizing this Ramadan? But if one is able to renew their intention in such a way to say that even in my work, it is worship, I am working so that I can earn an income to be able to take care of myself, to be able to take care of my family, to be able to give in charity. You know, those are acts of worship as well. So, we have a caller.
Hello, good morning.
Oh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah.
Oh, thank you for calling.
My name is Anima.
Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sister.
Yes, I've been listening to the show.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am, I've been listening to the show. I want to ask start a question.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay, my question is, if someone is fasting and you don't have access to food, and you use water to do iftar, and anything you see in the hall, you take, you don't see good food to take, is it acceptable?
Subhanallah.
That's what I want.
Oh, thank you for expressing your thoughts, Sister Aisha. Ustaz, are you still there, sir? Yeah, Ustaz?
I didn't get the question very well. I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can hear you. The sister has dropped the call, but what she was basically saying is that if a person doesn't have something tangible, no, they just use water for iftar, and then even sahur, anything they can lay their hands on, that's what they just use for sahur as well. That does it count?
Yeah, it does count, and the person would have more reward for being in this difficulty and still fasting. So it does count. Your fasting will be rewarded, inshallah, and your effort will be rewarded. So we will also advise such an individual to approach the nearest mosque to him or her and ask them that she or he or she needs something for the iftar and for the sahur. Because it's Ramadan, I'm pretty sure that he or she will be assisted. May Allah make it easy for all of us.
Ameen. That was quite an emotional one for me, because if a person is asking that question, it only means sometimes that, you know, it just, you know, reminds us of what we've been saying since, that there are indeed people who are in need. It's not just Ramadan for them. It's not just this period where you are staying off food. There are people who actually don't have this food. And even when it's time to break, while some people are having, you know, multiple meals, you know, main course, three course meals, desserts and all of that, some people still don't have what to break their fast with. So as we've said before, we pray that Allah meets every one of us at our points of need, grants our beneficial heart desires, and grants us the best of this world and the best in the hereafter. We thank our stars. We've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your knowledge and giving us some part of your time during this month of Ramadan, where every moment is indeed a big currency. Jazakumullah khairan jaza. We want to also thank our listeners. Thank you for listening. We thank our caller. Thank you for calling in. Every other person that's been trying to call in, but they couldn't get through, we also appreciate you. Thank you for listening on the show. Jazakum Allah khairan jaza. My name remains Latifa Oluwakemi Sadiq.
اتخذوا الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أتريدون أن تجعلوا لله عليكم سلطانا مبينا إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا صدق الله العظيم.
WFM